When I first saw the picture on our bulletin cover this week, I thought, "Oh, that is cute!" And I went around and told everybody who was around how cute it was. It's a picture, for those listening at home, it's a picture of two probably little girls kind of reaching out toward each other, and it says friends and has a little heart, and it's adorable. And I thought, well, that is really cute. I thought, I have no idea what that would have to do with the Bible, but that is a very cute picture. However, then this morning I look at it again, having paid a lot more attention to the gospel lesson now than I had when I first saw it this week, and I realized this may well be the perfect picture for today's gospel lesson. See if you can figure out how, but by listening. So we've been in John's gospel quite a bit this year. We've heard the real long stories in the season of Lent. We heard John's version of the Passion. We heard John's version of the Resurrection. If you've been around here, you've heard a whole lot of John's gospel. We've heard other John stories since then. Now, today's lesson is part of Jesus' big talk with his disciples on the last night that he was with them. If you recall, especially if you were here on Maundy Thursday in the 13th chapter of John, Jesus gathers with his disciples for a meal before the Passover when they're in Jerusalem. And at that meal, so he shares the meal, he gives thanks, he washes their feet at this meal. Becomes kind of a big deal. He then... what else does he do in this meal? Well, okay. So that happens, and then he starts talking to them, and he tells Judas to go and do his terrible, terrible job. And then he tells Peter that Peter will deny him three times, and it's getting a little awkward. And so then Jesus just starts talking. And for the next three chapters of John's Gospel, Jesus just talks to the disciples. And then the following chapter after that, Jesus says a really long prayer in front of the disciples. So five of the 21 chapters of John's Gospel, five of 21 chapters of John's Gospel are in this one night. This one night, this last night, this big night, this most important night of Jesus' ministry, probably. At least by time and space and word count, right? In John's Gospel, this is the most important night of Jesus' ministry. And this lesson right here, this short little bit that we get today, blessedly short compared to the lessons we've had from John's Gospel, this may be the centerpiece, the most important thing that Jesus says. Maybe. There's some other really important things, too, that we'll mention. But this is an extremely important part. Now, Jesus is gathered with his disciples that night, and they just think, we're having dinner. There's a cartoon thing I've seen on, I don't know, probably floating around the internet somewhere, and it's where, I don't remember it exactly, but Judas walks up to Jesus and says, "Hey, Jesus, you ready for the Last Supper tonight?" And Jesus says, the last what now? And Judas says, "Oh, regular supper, with the fellas." But it is indeed the Last Supper. And Jesus knows it's the Last Supper, especially in John's Gospel. Jesus is anguished. Jesus is upset. Jesus knows this is his last chance to try to explain how this whole business works to these guys. And he tries to tell them, look, this is it. This is after I'm going to be arrested, all these bad things are going to happen to me, and they refuse to hear it. They say, no, that'll never happen. We'll save you. We'll rescue you. Something else will happen. They distract themselves. They think of anything else. They can't believe, they can't imagine that Jesus really might be going away from them. But Jesus knows that he is, and so he's trying to let them know. He's trying to tell them that it's going to be okay. And he tries to tell them how to go on without him. Although he does it in kind of a circular way, because they're not going to understand anyway, because that's just how the disciples work. Today's lesson includes many of the most comforting words of Jesus in all of Scripture. And I can't help but think that Jesus may have been trying to comfort himself as much as the others. They didn't even know they needed comforting. But Jesus knew. And Jesus knew what was in store for him and for them. And he knew that everybody, himself included, could do with a little comfort. So here's just some of the quotations from this short lesson today. "I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever." Then Jesus says, "You know him, because he abides with you, and he will be in you. I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. Because I live, you also will live. Those who love me will be loved by my Father, and I will love them and reveal myself to them." And if the theme is not clear enough in those words, here the King James translation uses a different word for the word advocate in there, and a different word for the word orphaned in there. Instead of advocate, it says comforter. So he will give you another comforter to be with you forever. And instead of I will not leave you orphaned, it's I will not leave you comfortless. Comfort, care, binding up the brokenness, the grief that these disciples are about to feel. That's what Jesus is trying to do. I know the King James translations of these because they're famously written into songs, lots of songs. The most famous one, it's called "If Ye Love Me" by Thomas Tallis from way back in the day. It's quite possibly the most famous like choral anthem song ever. "If ye love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter, that he may bide with you forever. In the Spirit of truth." Yeah, "in the Spirit of truth," I think is the end, which means even like truly the Spirit of truth. I just know the words because I sung that so many times through my life, and this week I listened to it about 100 times because it's a beautiful short song. So I listened to it as I was preparing this. There's another song by William Byrd that's just as ye olde from centuries and centuries ago called "I Will Not Leave You Comfortless" that I did in college. It's a little less famous, but it gets stuck in my head just as much because I did it on tour in South Africa, so I performed it about 30 times. Anyway, these songs stick with me from this text about the comforter, and that God will, or that Jesus will not leave us comfortless. The word that Jesus used to say advocate or comforter in Greek is the word paraclete, which is a nerdy church word, which literally means one who walks alongside. So Jesus is saying, I will give you another to walk alongside you. Another, because Jesus has been walking alongside his disciples through this time. And he wants to continue doing that, but he knows that's not where it's at. So he says, God will give you another to walk alongside you. This is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will walk alongside you. Now, how will the Holy Spirit walk alongside Jesus' disciples? If you were paying attention to the children's sermon, you may know that one of the main ways the Holy Spirit walks alongside the disciples is through us, through each other. Have you ever walked alongside somebody in their time of need? Has anyone ever walked alongside you in your time of need? What Jesus is saying in this story is that when you do that, or when someone does that for you, that is the Holy Spirit working through us. The Holy Spirit doesn't have hands and feet to do the work. The Holy Spirit needs us, and the Holy Spirit directs us to do that. Have you ever sat with somebody in their time of need, and you were just terrified that they would want you to say something because you had no idea what to say? Anybody? So you don't have to raise your hand. It's okay. That's okay. Because it's the very walking alongside, the presence, the being with somebody that is the most important thing. Nobody expects you to have the right thing to say. Sometimes people expect me to have the right thing to say, but they're generally disappointed, I'll be honest. Because being a pastor, following Jesus, caring for somebody in their time of greatest need is not about saying the perfect words, because no words are going to make it all better. Right? My words are not going to undo the thing that has happened. But my presence can let somebody know that they are not alone in their time of grief, in their time of need. And your presence can do the very same thing just as well as mine can. That's the paraclete. That's the Holy Spirit. That's what it is to walk alongside someone. And that's the promise that Jesus makes in this most comforting gospel lesson today, that God will send the Holy Spirit through you to walk alongside someone in need, or that God will send the Holy Spirit through someone else to walk alongside you in your time of need. To me, this is the way, a way, perhaps the way, that we are to fulfill Jesus' commandment. It says at the beginning, if you love me, keep my commandments. The commandment that Jesus had left them with, just like minutes, maybe an hour before, in this very night, in this very same story, in this most important night of Jesus' ministry. It's John, it's chapter 13, verse 34, and it goes something like, I should have written it down, but I because the main thrust is important. I got it. I didn't think I needed to write it down, but now I wish I had. Jesus says, I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you will love one another. That's how they will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. So love one another is the new commandment that Jesus has just given. And when he says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments, one of them, the central one, the one he had just brought up, is to love one another. And how better to love one another than to walk alongside someone in their time of need, to be present with them, to allow the Holy Spirit to work through you. I don't know if you've ever tried to love other people. It's not always easy. It's not always clear what that looks like or what that means. I mean, there's tough love and there's romantic love and there's all kinds of different love. But the love that Jesus is talking about, the love that it's pretty hard to get wrong, is the love where you just be present with someone in their time of need. That's the kind of love that anybody can do and can do pretty well, especially if you remember to keep your mouth shut just a little bit. At least that's what I have to remember when I'm doing it. If you love me, you will keep my commandment to love one another. Who has walked alongside you in your time of need? When there was a time when you needed somebody to be there, who was there for you? Who was your paraclete? Who did the Holy Spirit send to you? Caroline Lewis is a professor of preaching at Luther Seminary, and she suggests that this week, in light of this lesson, that we should think about those who have walked alongside us in our time of need. And not only that we should think of them, but we should dare to tell them who they are. You have been a paraclete to me. You have walked alongside me, and it really mattered, and I really appreciate it. Now, that could be a little bit an awkward conversation. There's a lot of feelings. It could be in a conversation like that. But think about it. Maybe there's somebody who doesn't know what they've been to you. And you could tell them. You could let them know of a time when God was with you through their actions. Somebody can see how they have been the presence of Jesus for you. Could be a powerful gift. Jesus calls his disciples to love one another because he knows he will not always be physically present with them. Jesus calls us to love one another, to walk alongside one another because he knows we need each other. He knows that in walking alongside one another, we share the love of God. The Holy Spirit is moving. Will you let it move through you? Amen.